welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, bringing you an hour of mystery. Later on, we hear movie star Alan Ladd on Box 13. But right now, Lon Clark is Nick Carter, Master Detective. This broadcast first aired on Mutual on February 26th, 1944, called Death Witnesses.
What's the matter? What is it?
Another case for Nick Carter, Master Detective.
Yes, it's another case for that most famous of all manhunters, the detective whose ability at solving crime is unequaled in the history of detective fiction. Nick Carter, Master Detective. Tonight's curious adventure...
Dead Witnesses. Or Nick Carter and the Mystery of the Murder Room.
How about having me lunch with me in an hour or so, Pete? I haven't seen you in a dog's age.
Oh, swell, Nick. Where can I meet you?
Well, suppose we get...
Nick, that guy across the street, they got him.
Yes, come on. Maybe he's still alive.
Well, maybe, but he doesn't look so to me. The way he's all crumpled up there.
I'm afraid you're right, Pete. All right, here. Help me turn him over on his back.
Okay.
Well, he's dead already.
Hey, Nick, will you look at who he is?
Oh, our old friend Louis Morelli, the gangster. Well, he'll never muscle in on anybody's rackets again. He certainly took care of that.
Yeah. Now they can take his name off the blotter at headquarters. But, Nick, did you see who was in the front seat of that death car as it went by us?
Yes, Pete, I did. Slug Baron.
Yeah, Nick, Slug Baron in person. Do you realize what this means? We now have something we've been trying to get for the past 3 years. Evidence against Slug that will let us put him away. Well, every detective on the force, including me, has been trying to get something on that thug ever since he pulled his first job here.
Right, Pete. This should be good news to the whole city.
Pardon me, but is he dead?
Yeah, very dead. You know him?
No, I never saw him before. But I did see him shot by someone in that car that went by. And I think it's outrageous that such things can happen in this city.
You say you saw him shot?
Yes. I happened to look up as the car went by. And then I heard the gun shooting, and I saw him fall.
You wouldn't be able to identify the man in the front seat of that car, would you?
I'm sure I would. He was a mean-looking individual, and that big scar across his cheek was very plain. Why?
Nick, this is too good to be true. Another witness. Hey, look, fella, would you be willing to testify against that guy when we catch him?
I certainly would. Such men should be put away where they can't get out. Here's my card. Let me know when you want me.
Okay, thanks. William P. Fletcher, 46 Main Avenue. Oh, boy, oh, boy. We'll call you all right, buddy. We've waited for this for 3 years.
Nick, that's the best news I've had in this department in years.
Have you picked up Slug yet, Riley?
Oh, but the boys will be in with him any minute now. And then with 3 honest-to-goodness witnesses against him, we'll put him in the chair and strap him down tight. And that'll be a happy day in my life.
I know just how you feel, Riley. That's been...
Yeah?
Just got a report that a man was knocked down and killed by a truck over on the east side. About 2:30 this afternoon.
Huh?
Apparently an accident, although the body was pretty badly smashed up. I thought you'd like to know.
And why did you think I'd like to know?
Because the guy has been identified as William P. Fletcher of 46 Main Avenue.
Nick, that's the fellow who is going to be a witness for us against Slug Baron.
So Slug is up to his old tricks again.
You think so too, do you?
I don't think there's much question about it. Slug finds as a witness. If witness can't be intimidated, witness disappears. Simple as 2 and 2.
Hey, you'd better look out for a guy named Nick Carter, then.
I've been doing that for years, Riley. This won't be the first time I've come up against Mr. Slug Baron.
Hey, Chief.
Yeah?
Look, we've combed this whole town from end to end, including up and down and sideways, and there ain't a guy assigned a Slug anywhere.
What do you mean there ain't a sign of him? There's got to be. He ain't left town, has he?
Well, I don't think so, but we can't locate him. Him or the death car, and nobody knows anything about him either. Well, if they do, they won't talk.
Which is nothing new.
Well, if Slug's still in town, Pete, and you guys don't bring him in the next 24 hours, you can turn in your badges.
Okay, Lieutenant, I'll do my best.
Your best ain't good enough. You gotta do better. Can you beat it, Nick? For 3 years, this Slug Baron has been head man in the city. For 3 years, me and him has been at it tooth and nail. He's been the head of every big racket we've had. Why, we've arrested him 20 times. And 20 times we've had to let him go because we couldn't prove nothing on him. And every time we let him out of here, he laughs in my face. Now he kills this Morelli. And 3 witnesses see him do it and they're willing to testify. And suddenly, 1 witness is killed and we can't find Slug anywhere.
Now, calm down, Riley. Your biggest job right now is to keep your witnesses alive until you do find Slug.
We'll still hang it on him with you and Peter's witnesses, even if he did get rid of Fletcher. Now, look, Nick, wouldn't you like to get after Slug yourself?
Why?
You could call it self-protection, Nick. Don't forget, you're a witness now, too.
Okay, Riley, since you put it that way, I'll do what I can to get Slug for you.
But, Nick, Slug Barron is a dangerous killer, and you know it.
Certainly I know it, Patsy. That's why I'd like to see him put where he'd be in the receiving end of a legal killing.
You mean the chair?
I do. And the sooner he gets there, the better off.
Nicholas Carter's office.
Put Nick on, quick.
It's Riley, Nick, and is he excited?
Oh, thanks. What's up, Riley?
Pete has just been found dead in his own garage, killed by the exhaust from his car, the coroner says.
How did it happen, Riley?
His wife says he got back to the house about 7:30 this evening. He drove in the garage and shut the doors, and about a half hour later, she suddenly realized that he hadn't come in the house yet. So she went to look and found the body.
Do you believe it was an accident, Riley?
I do not. It was Slug did it. There's no question about it. He's getting rid of the witnesses, and you're next, Nick.
Okay, Riley. I'll get to work right away. I owe it to Pete as well as to myself now.
Good, Nick. But watch your step, lad.
Right, Riley. And Riley, I'd like to donate $100 to the fund for Pete's widow. He was my friend. So long.
Did he say that another witness had died?
Yes, Patsy. Pete's just been found dead in his car in his own garage with the motor running.
But that could be an accident, Nick.
It could, Patsy, but it wasn't. No more than that truck's killing Fletcher was an accident. That's Slug's specialty, being clever.
He's dangerous, Nick. Do be careful.
Well, Patsy, there's one thing in my favor. I know that Slug will never shoot me down out in the open. He only does that with his fellow crooks. Fletcher's death looked like an accident. Pete's death looked like an accident. And if he can get me, that'll look like an accident, too. Which makes it easier for me to watch out for him.
You mean he'll set a murder trap for you?
Probably.
Nicholas Carter's office.
I'd like to speak to Mr. Carter, please.
Just a minute. Here, Nick. It's for you.
Oh, thanks. Hello? Nick Carter speaking.
Mr. Carter, would you care to drop in on me and have a little talk?
Who is this?
That's not important now. The important thing is, would you care to come?
Why should I be interested in you?
It might be to your advantage.
In what way?
I know something that you'd like to know. I have some information that would help you in your search.
Oh. Where are you?
I'm in the Cascade Nightclub. Will you join me?
Yes. How can I find you?
I shall be at the far right-hand table as you enter the main dining room. I shall look forward to seeing you in, shall we say, about half an hour.
Okay. I'll be there.
Oh, Nick, you mustn't go. This is probably the very trap you were telling me Slug would set for you.
It may be, Patsy. Although I doubt that he'd use the Cascade Nightclub. That's a little too well known for him.
But, Nick, people who have legitimate business...
Patsy, I can't afford to overlook any source of information.
But there are other ways of getting information besides sticking your neck out for it.
This man's voice interests me, Patsy. I think I'd like to see what he looks like. Besides, it isn't often that I get a chance to go to a nightclub like the Cascade. Maybe I can stick him with a check.
Good evening, Mr. Carter.
You sent for me?
Yes. Would you sit down?
Thanks.
Care for something to drink?
No, thank you.
Cigarette?
No, thanks.
Just interested in business, huh? Well, maybe I can help you with some information I happen to have.
Yes?
Mr. Carter, would you like to put your hands on Slug Barron?
I'm afraid I don't understand you.
No? I think you do. Let me put it in another way. If you live long enough to get your hands on Slug Barron, it means the electric chair for him. But I happen to know that your chances of living are none too good right now either. He's left you alone until he got rid of the other two witnesses. But now that they're gone, your turn is next.
How do you know all this?
That's not important just now. What is important is that you may die tonight, tomorrow, or next week. But whenever it is, you are going to die. You won't have a chance to do anything about it. You'll probably be dead before you even know what the bullet that kills you feels like.
Well, all this is very interesting. I fail to see where it's leading you, Mr.
The name is Morelli.
Morelli?
Yes. Louis Morelli, the man Slug Barron killed, was my brother. I came to town to kill Slug myself, but I find I can't do it alone. I can't get to him. But I can help the police to get him.
You mean you know where he's hiding out?
No, I don't. But I do know something just as good. I happen to know that he changes his hiding place every other day to make sure the cops don't trace him. The address of his new hiding place is left with one of his henchmen in an old-fashioned safe. I know the house where the safe is located. I know that for 2 hours this evening, that house will be deserted.
And what do you want me to do?
Well, I've had some experience in breaking into houses and opening locked doors as well as locked safes. I'll take you to the house. The safe will be open. You can learn Slug Baron's hiding place, and then there you do.
All that you say is true. Why don't you get the address and bring it to me? The result would be the same.
Look, Carter, I'm a safe cracker and a burglar, but I'm not a stool pigeon. I may help the cops, but I don't hand them evidence they can perfectly well get for themselves.
That's a rather fine distinction, isn't it, Morelli?
You have your ways of doing things, Carter, and I have mine. You want to work with me or not?
Very well. Where will I meet you and when?
Let me see. 10:05 now. I'll meet you at 5 minutes past midnight in a doorway at the corner of Perry and Clinton Streets.
I'll be there.
Just one thing. Come alone. I can't afford to have anybody know I work with the cops. If you bring anybody with you, the whole thing is off. Remember, don't bring anybody with you.
Very well, Morelli. I'll be there at 12:05. And alone.
Oh, wait till I get a pencil here. All right. Go ahead, Nick. What's he look like?
Medium height. Black hair, blue eyes, little mustache, weighs about 135 pounds, parts his hair way over on the left side, scar on back of right hand, nose has been broken and fixed up. You know him?
Well, not offhand, Nick, but if he's in the gallery, I'll get him for you. Is there anything else?
Not now, Riley. Meet me in a half hour at Daly's lunchroom.
And where is Daly's lunchroom?
Out on Palmer Avenue, near the city line.
But, Nick, that's 3 miles from here.
Right. Daly's just far enough out so that nobody's going to bother us. I'll meet you there in half an hour.
Okay, Nick, okay. I'll be there. I don't know. Sometimes I can't figure that guy Carter out at all.
I think we can talk safely here, Riley.
Well, I should hope so. After getting me way out here on the sticks.
Well, what did you find? Did you dig up his picture?
I found him right enough. His name is Lucky Warren. He's one of the big Chicago mobsters, one of the smoothest articles ever came out of Chicago.
Oh, so that's why he looked rather familiar. He belongs to the East Street gang, if I remember right.
Right, Nick. Hey, what kind of a line did he hand you?
Oh, told me he was the brother of Louis Morelli, the guy Slug Baron killed.
Ah, he's no more Morelli's brother than I am.
And he gave me a song and dance about wanting to get Slug, but not being able to get near him.
And what was his proposition? He had one, of course.
Of course. He offered to open up a safe in a secret apartment and lead me to it if I went alone.
And what did he say was in the safe?
The address at which we could find Baron for the next 2 days.
Well, that's a hot one. What a phony setup that is. Why, that's nothing but a murder trap, Nick. Why, when you walk into that room, you'll be riddled with bullets like a sieve.
You may be right, Riley. Maybe right. Maybe I'd never get any further than the door of the room. But on the other hand, we've been chasing Baron for 3 years now. If we should have him cornered...
Cornered me, aye. He's setting a trap to corner you.
You can't be sure, Riley. It might work out.
Work out? Nick, I've fought with you many a time in the past, and if the Lord spares me, we'll fight together many a time in years to come. But I think too much of you to see you walk into a house where you can't live 5 minutes.
5 minutes. I could only be sure that I could live for 5 minutes after I walked in.
Nick, is there anything the matter with you? Are you nuts or something?
No, Riley, I think not. I think I have an idea. It might work. And it might not.
Yeah, and you might live and you might not.
Now don't you see, Riley? That's true even if I don't walk into this trap of his. If he doesn't get me one way, he'll get me another. My only chance to stay alive is to get him first. And this plan of mine may be the answer.
But Nick, you know you can't...
Hold your tongue, Riley, and listen while I tell you my idea, because I'm going to need your cooperation as I never needed it before. Now, here it is.
Time, I see, Carter.
Yes, Morelli. Let's get going.
Certainly. The house is not far from here, just around the corner, as a matter of fact. I just come from there. The door to the basement is open, and the safe is in one of the upstairs rooms.
And you think there'll be nobody there for at least 2 hours?
For between 2 and 3 hours, the house will be deserted.
And you're going to show me the room where the safe is?
I've done all I'm going to do. The door is open, and the safe is open. The rest is up to you.
I hope your information's correct. I shouldn't like to be caught in a strange house rifling the safe.
That's the least of your worries. That is, catching Slug Baron is much more important, isn't it?
Oh, yes, yes, of course.
Here. This is the house. It's all red brick. Number 42.
Doesn't look very inviting, does it? Gone already, huh? Didn't take you long to leave, did it? Well, Nick, you're on your own now. Nothing here in the basement to interest me. Yeah, glad I thought to put new batteries in this flashlight tonight. Seems to be nobody here in the first floor. Must be all up on the second floor where he said the safe is. It probably won't bother me until I get up there, which is just as it should be. Must be in the living room. Still furnished. Been a long time since anyone lived here. This'll do well enough for what I want. Have a cigarette, Nick? Oh, yes, thanks. Have another cigarette, Nick? Why, yes, thanks. Won't you have another cigarette, Nick? Why, yes, thanks, I will. Now. Sounds as if they're getting nervous upstairs. Now, don't worry, friend. I'll be up in just a minute.
Say, Ducky, I thought you said you told him the safe was up here.
I did.
Yeah? And what the deuce is he doing down there?
How do I know? I still think you should have brought some of the boys to help you.
What's the matter? You afraid of him?
He's no pushover, I know that.
You guys are... Quiet. Here he comes now. Get set.
These are the creakiest stairs I ever heard. Yeah. There's the room. I can see the safe. Oh, this is some room. No windows in it. And look at this door. Solid steel, built like an icebox. It's so heavy. And still no one here to meet me. Well, at least I can look into the safe while I wait. Yeah, that door's open a crack, just as advertised. Wonder why he... So that's it. Very interesting. Well, if that's the setup, I think I'll leave the examination of the safe till later. That chair looks comfortable. I'll wait for my host there, with my gun in hand, just in case. Now, let's see. It's been just 4 minutes since I came up from downstairs. If I can hold out here, another 2 minutes at least before they... Oh. So you've come to welcome me at last, have you?
Well, Nick Carter, it's been some little time since we saw each other. Formally.
It's hardly my fault, Slug. I've done my best to find you any number of times in the past year or more.
Slug, let me take a shot.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. You're here, too. Have you managed to avenge your brother yet, Mr. Lucky Warren?
Well, how the devil are you...
Quiet, Lucky. Come in and close the door. Don't forget, you're only a guest at this party.
But look, Slug, let's get this over with. Fooling around with Nick Carter is dynamite.
I don't really see why you should feel that way, Lucky. Nobody knows where I am, so nobody's going to interfere with you.
You ain't telling us nothing, Carter. We made sure of that ourselves. We had two men shadow you from the nightclub to the lunchroom where you talked to Lieutenant Riley. We had two men shadow Riley back to headquarters. And two more follow you when you came here to meet Lucky. Now, Carter, we're sure there ain't no cops following you this time.
You've been to a great deal of trouble, Slug, seems to me, just to get me to walk into a death trap that was corny and as obvious as this one. Well, now that I'm here, what's going to happen?
Carter, I've been waiting 3 years to take care of you, and I'm going to see that you get
it. I see that you've cut the current off from the safe. If I hadn't heard the hum of the transformer a few minutes ago, I should probably have touched it and been knocked unconscious. Was that what you wanted?
If you'd have touched that safe, you would have been dead.
Oh. That's what happened to that headquarters cop they found on the third rail of the elevator last winter. I thought it didn't look right at the time. You got him to touch this safe and that electrocuted him. Then you dumped him in the third rail where they found him. Very clever, Slug.
You're learning that a little late, ain't you, Carter?
Too bad it didn't work with me. Now you've got to find some other way to get rid of me. Some less clever way.
Are we going to stand around here all night chewing the rag, or are we going to take care of this guy and now...
Take it easy, Lucky. Now that we're all here together, there ain't no hurry. Carter ain't going nowhere.
And with the door closed the way it is, this room is soundproof, isn't it? Lovely room for a murder. And it probably won't be the first time it's been used for that either.
Let me take him, Slug. My finger's getting anxious.
All right, Lucky. But make it good.
I'll make it good, all right.
Sure, Lucky'll make it good. If he does.
Hold still, Lucky. Hold still, Lucky.
What are you doing?
He's got me, Slug. I can't move.
Get out of the way, Lucky. I can't hit him with you standing in front of him.
That's the idea, Slug. And he's going to stay there for now.
Yeah, so you think you're safe as long as you got him held in front of you, do you, Carter? Well, you're crazy.
No, Slug, you can't shoot me. You can't do that.
Now, watch me. I waited too long to get this gun. So long, Lucky.
No, Slug, no.
Slug, you killed.
Yes. You killed him. And missed me. What now?
Oh, look, his body is pretty heavy for you, ain't it, Carter? Now that he's dead.
Not too heavy, Slug. He's better protection than nothing.
Yeah, but you got no gun. So how long you expect to last?
No, I have no gun, but I do have a weapon. You ever think of that?
Yeah, what is it?
It's Lucky's body. Here.
Let go of
me! Better body than you expected, isn't it, huh?
I'll show you.
Put the cuffs on that mug and guard him with your lives.
Yeah.
Take him down to the wagon.
Thanks, Riley. I'm about all in. Huh. Don't know why I feel so weak.
Are you hurt bad, Nick?
No, no. Just a scratch on the head. It's nothing.
Oh, nothing, is it? Sure, it's bleeding enough for two men. Hey, get the doc up here on the double.
Okay, sir.
How about that hole in your shoulder, Nick? I suppose that's nothing, too.
You almost did for me, Riley. I was afraid I wouldn't be able to hold him for you.
Hold him, did you say? Sure, Nick, you done noble. Nobody could have done better, or even half as good. I'm proud of you.
I brought this old hurry-up wagon because I thought we might need to use it as an ambulance or as a hearse. Are you feeling better, Nick?
Oh, yes, yes, Riley, thanks. Very much better.
Sure, Nick, you scared me out of 10 years' growth this night.
You got your killer, didn't you?
Sure, I got him after he almost got you. Oh, what a fool you were to walk into a trap like that, Nick.
Perhaps you're right, Riley. Somebody had to get Slug. I hoped I'd be able to take care of myself once I got in the trap, but as it turned out, I was getting pretty weak from loss of blood. I'm darn glad that you didn't arrive any later than you did.
You're a lucky guy, Carter. I'd have killed you if those guys hadn't butted in.
Well, you didn't. So that's that.
That's that, he says. Just like that. What a man.
Look, Carter. These guys didn't follow you up to this house. I know that. How did they know where you was?
Curious, huh? All right, I'll tell you. When I was talking to Riley last evening, some fire engines went by. They gave me an idea. We knew that this house of yours had to be in this district somewhere. And we knew that around here, everybody's so afraid of fire, they'd report even a suspicion of one. So I had Riley wait with the fire chief at the nearest fire station for the alarm. When they got the alarm, they knew where I was. And they came a-running.
When they got what alarm?
The alarm one of your neighbors sent in when he saw the fire.
What fire? I don't know nothing about no fire.
It was a good fire, Slug, while it lasted. But the boys from the firehouse put it out as soon as they got there.
Where was this fire?
Well, Slug, it was like this. When I stopped in the living room on the first floor of your house tonight, I lighted 3 cigarettes. I put a pack of matches under the curtains in each of the 2 windows. And laid a cigarette across each pack of matches so that it would burn for a couple of minutes before it set off the matches. Then I did the same with a 3rd cigarette and a 3rd pack of matches, putting them under some dry stuff I piled up under the desk.
And when the matches went off, they set fire to the curtains and the other stuff and started a nice little conflagration. And within 2 minutes, somebody phoned in an alarm just as we figured they would. It was a grand scheme, and Nick here thought it up all by himself.
Look, Mr. Brains, Why didn't you just set fire to the house and not bother with all that trick stuff with the cigarettes and matches?
Oh, if I'd done that, Slug, you and your pals would have smelled the smoke and beat it before we could stop you. But I figured that by having the fire start after you and I got together, you'd be too busy to notice it until it was too late.
Of course, I wasn't there till it was all over, but judging by the results, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah? It's too bad the house didn't burn down with you in it, Carter.
That was one of the chances I had to take, but it was worth anything to get you out of circulation.
Which will be just as soon as we can get the electric chair dusted off for you, Slug, me boy.
Exactly. The murder trap you set for me turned out to be a death trap for you, which is certainly poetic justice.
This has been another of the strange adventures of Nick Carter, Master Detective, which are brought to you regularly at the same time by WOR Mutual.
Nick Carter on Tuned to Yesterday from February 26th, 1944, part of the Mutual Broadcasting System's Sunday afternoon lineup at 3:30, over 4 million people tuned into that episode. It may seem like a lot, but in 1944, there were a lot of people listening to radio, and in the same mystery and crime genre, on top was Mr. District Attorney, drawing over 25 million listeners a week. You're listening to An Hour of Mystery on Tuned to Yesterday with your host, Mark Levonier, and now time for Alan Ladd, movie actor starring as Dan Holliday in Box 13, the syndicated episode released on November 29, 1948, called One of These Four.
Box 13, with the star of Paramount Pictures, Alan Ladd, as Dan Holliday.
William.
Yes, sir, Mr. Mallory?
We're ready to leave at a moment's notice, aren't we?
Yes, sir.
Very well. Please put this in the mail for me.
Very well, sir.
Oh, you'd better take it ashore and post it there. I'm rather anxious to see who this Box 13 is.
The letter I received was short and to the point. Enclosed with it was a plane ticket and another ticket. First class on the biggest luxury liner afloat. And the letter read, "Be at the end of Pier 9 tomorrow night at 8. Please be prompt." That was all. A command, not a request. When I received it, I wondered who'd written it. Well, I found out.
But Mr. Holliday, do you want to go on another trip?
Oh, not if I can help it, Susie. But someone paid for these tickets. First class on the biggest liner afloat.
And no name or address. You can't send it back.
But I can bring it back.
You mean you're going to Pier 9 tonight?
Like it says here, Susie, I'm going to Pier 9 tonight. I got to Pier 9 promptly at 8 o'clock. There was no liner there. There was nothing but a cold fog that penetrated to my skin and made me shiver in the dim, hazy light from a half-hearted street lamp a block away. I looked at my watch. It was exactly 8.
Are you Mr. Holliday?
Yes, I'm Dan Holliday.
Do you have the letter that was sent to you?
Who are you?
My name is William, sir. I'm a steward.
Steward? On what ship?
If you'll be so good as to show me the letter, Mr. Holliday, we can talk later, if you please.
Okay. Here you are.
Very good, sir. If you'll come with me.
Where?
There's a boat waiting, sir, to take you out to the yacht.
Yacht? What yacht? Look, what about this ticket?
That will be explained later, Mr. Holliday. Now, will you come with me, sir?
He stood there waiting for me to follow him. I wondered whether to or not. Well, I'd advertised for adventures, and who blames whom in a case like this? Then...
You coming, sir?
I think you've talked me into it. Okay, William, lead the way. Ten minutes later, I was aboard a yacht. But what a yacht. It was seagoing, and from what I could see in the bad light, ready to go anywhere and do anything. William led the way along the deck.
You go down this companionway, Mr. Holliday.
And it's nice to know we're going somewhere.
Your cabin, Mr. Holliday.
Mine?
Yes, sir. I think you'll find everything in order. The
pajamas, toothbrush, everything that you'll need for the night.
Oh, now, wait a minute,
If you're hungry, sandwiches and coffee. Good night, sir.
Hey, now, just a minute, you... Hey, open up. Come on, open this door. William? William? And that, as they say, was that. I was locked in. I thought of breaking in the door, but one good look put that idea out of my head. The door was iron. There was one porthole in the cabin. I couldn't have crawled through it if I'd been dehydrated. Well, I sat down to figure this out. Then it was figured out for me. The yacht was moving. I ran to the porthole. The lights of the city had already been swallowed up by the darkness. Mr. Dan Holliday was going on a trip. But where? And why?
Mr. Holliday.
Mr.
Surprise, funny man. I always hide behind doors that people lock on me. Now talk.
My arm, sir, it breaks easily.
I'm glad to hear that. Now come on, talk.
This will do you no good, Mr. Holliday. We've been underway all night.
Maybe you're right.
Oh, thank you, sir. I hope you slept well.
Oh, sure. Now, what's all this about?
Breakfast is being served in the main dining salon, sir.
I get great answers to my questions.
You'll soon find out, sir. Now, if you please.
Go ahead, I'll follow.
As you wish, sir. Down this way, Mr. Holliday.
I followed him down the passage, then into the dining salon. And there, seated around a table, were two men and a woman. They looked up as I entered, and one of the men spoke.
Look here. Just what's the big idea?
You talking to me?
I certainly am.
If I may have a word.
Go ahead.
All four of you are in the same position.
You mean each of us was kidnapped?
No, sir. Invited.
Invited? My foot, I was locked up in the cabin.
So was I.
And me too.
Well, well, well. And when do we learn why, William?
As soon as Mr. Mallory wishes to tell you, sir. Now, breakfast is served. I shall lock the salon door.
Well, I'll be...
I wonder what the gag is.
Oh, if it is a gag.
We may as well get acquainted. My name is Holliday, Dan Holliday.
I'm Stanley Waring.
How do you do?
I'm Philip Clayson.
Hello.
My name's Lansing, Catherine Lansing.
Well, so we know as much as we did before.
We gotta get out of here. Obviously, this is some sort of insane joke.
I wonder if it is, Waring.
Well, what person in his right mind would kidnap four people like this? What do you say, Clayton?
Well, I don't know. Well, take a look out the porthole. We're obviously far at sea. How well can you swim?
Well, maybe we could get to one of the lifeboats.
I don't think so.
Well, why not?
Something tells me the rest of the crew are like William, the steward. I don't think we'd be able to get to a boat even if we got out of this salon.
I guess you're right, Holliday. Well, what do we do?
Mr. Waring, I suggest we have breakfast. I think better on a full stomach. One hour later, William came and unlocked the salon door and took us back to our cabins. I caught sight of some of the crew. They paid no attention to us, but went on with their work. Lunch was the same, locked in the salon, then back to the cabins. But at dinner time...
Good evening, Mr. Holliday.
Hello, William.
I see the dinner jacket fits you, sir.
Very thoughtful of someone to provide the correct size.
Dinner is being served, sir.
Thank you. And will we be honored by Mr. Mallory's presence this evening?
I can't say, Mr. Holliday. Perhaps.
Say, William, where are we?
I'm not a navigator, sir. I have no idea.
There's still an ocean under us, isn't there?
When I last looked, it was there, sir.
Well, lead on, William.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, good evening, Holliday.
Hello, Waring. Miss Lansing.
Oh, good evening.
Say, look, we've got to do something about this. We've got to.
What do you suggest, Clayton?
Well, I don't know, but we've got to think.
What are they going to do with us? Why did they bring us here?
Dinner is served.
What? Why, you? I'll choke it out of you.
Let him go, Clayton. Come on. Come on, let him go. Let him go.
Choke something out of
him. Let him out.
What good will that do you, Mr. Clayton?
Mr. Mallory, sir.
That will be all, William. You may go. And turn that thing off, will you?
Very good, sir.
You're an impetuous man, Mr. Clayton.
So you're Mallory.
Sit down, please. We'll have dinner.
Just a minute. Before we have anything else, we'll have an explanation, Mallory.
You're Holliday, aren't you?
That's right.
Fiction writer, aren't you?
What's that got to do with this routine?
Please, sit down. Miss Lansing, on my right, please. Mr. Waring, that chair. Mr. Clayton, on my left. Mr. Holliday, sit at the other end, facing me. Please, you want an explanation. I promise you'll get one. After dinner. Or would you rather wait another night and another day?
I'll sit down.
Thank you, Miss Lansing.
All right.
Yes, the explanation, it better be good.
Oh, it will be, Mr. Clayton. And, Mr. Holliday.
Yes?
I'll wager you've never written anything to match it.
Well, we sat down. Mr. Mallory enjoyed his dinner. We didn't. I watched him. He was a big man. His huge head was covered with a shock of iron gray hair that matched the mustache under his sharp, thin nose. And he was charming and cultured. In spite of the fantastic situation, we found ourselves listening to him after dinner as we sat in the salon.
The 18th dynasty was Egypt's greatest. Its pharaohs conquered and reconquered. Its art reached a beauty and subtlety never before or since reached. Ah, yes, great people. But maybe I'm boring you.
Not at all, Mr. Mallory.
You're very kind.
And now, Mallory, the explanation.
Of course, Mr. Waring.
Well, Mallory?
I'm choosing my words carefully, Mr. Clayton.
They'd better be good.
They will be. Miss Lansing, gentlemen, I investigated each of you before inviting you aboard my yacht. Mr. Waring?
What?
You advertised in the paper for a job, preferably in a foreign country, but you had no family. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. You answered my ad.
Correct. Miss Lansing?
Yes?
You advertised for a companion position. You, too, have no family.
No.
And, Mr. Clayton, you ran an ad offering your services in any capacity. You're sort of a soldier of fortune.
If you want to call it that.
I shall. Lastly, Mr. Holliday, Box 13. Adventure wanted. We'll go any place, do anything.
Yes, that's my ad.
Now, does any one of you see a striking similarity? Oh, please, you must have.
You mean the prolonged absence of any one of us would go, well, would go unnoticed.
Exactly.
All right, you're clever, Mr. Mallory. We'll admit that. You've got us in a spot where you could do anything. Now, would you mind telling us why?
Mr. Holliday, you're a fiction writer. Have you ever written a story about a perfect crime?
Crime?
Don't be alarmed, Miss Lansing. Well, Holliday?
No, I've never written one.
But there have been perfect crimes, murders in which the killer has never been caught.
Yes, I suppose so.
Yet suppose someone knows the killer in such a murder. Then it would no longer be perfect.
What are you driving at?
Just this. One of the four of you is a murderer.
What?
A murderer?
I use the word murderer in the sense that it can be either masculine or feminine.
You know that?
I do. One of you here is a killer. 12 years ago, a man was killed. A friend of mine. The killer was never caught. I worked on it. I now have proof who that person is.
Why didn't you go to the police?
10 years ago, I would have. But now I'm in a position to enjoy myself, to watch the murderer squirm and wriggle.
You're insane.
What's to prevent us from
jumping on me? My crew is well paid, loyal. They've been with me for years. Money is an effective silencer.
You're a beast.
Perhaps.
Look, Mallory. The killer knows you've learned who he is.
Or she.
I'm not.
Perhaps not, Miss Lansing, but you were saying, Holliday.
The killer knows you know his or her identity. What's to prevent him from killing you?
My attorneys in the city have an envelope. In that envelope is the name of the person and all details. If I do not return within a certain time, that envelope will be opened.
What's the time limit?
Wouldn't you like to know, Mr. Waring?
Oh, just a minute.
I have a question, Holliday.
Yes, I don't think you finished your explanation.
I haven't. Here it is. In 3 days, we will dock at Havana. If by that time the killer's identity is not known to the other three of you, I will release all four of you.
And the killer will go free?
Yes.
What if we do learn?
I'm sure the killer will do all in his or her power to prevent that.
How can we find that out?
I will give clues. You will have to recognize them.
I see. And if the killer realizes he's being trapped?
Then he or she may kill to prevent that knowledge from getting out. And, Miss Lansing, gentlemen, I shall not lift a finger to prevent it.
Do you think you can get away with this?
Why, of course he can.
You're very wrong, gentlemen. No one can prove you came aboard this yacht. No one knows.
You'll stand by and see three people killed?
The cleverest will survive. Now, here's your first clue. Are you ready? The Roman god, Janus.
Janus? The Roman god?
Yes. And now, good night. And may the cleverest among you live to see Havana.
Mm-hmm.
After dinner that same night, I went to my cabin and sat down, trying to figure out what the Roman god Janus had to do with a killer when... Come in.
May I come in, Mr. Holliday?
Please do, Mr. Mallory. It's your yacht.
Mind if I sit down?
It is also your chair.
I like your sense of humor.
I like yours. It's just like an open grave.
Don't you think you could get a story out of this, Mr. Holliday?
What else will I get out of it, Mallory?
Do you believe my explanation?
I don't know.
Here, take this.
What?
Here,
what?
Take it. Take it. It's loaded, too.
Why the gun?
To protect yourself.
Against what? For whom?
Against the murderer. It is loaded, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, and it's pointed right at you.
So I see. But strangely enough, I'm not worried.
What's to prevent me from forcing you to order this yacht back to land?
Your sense of adventure, your own willingness to see this through, your desire for a good story.
Aren't you placing too high a value on your ability to judge people?
I've made no mistake in you, Holliday. That's why I gave you the gun.
You mean you're actually going through with this incredible thing?
Yes. One of the other three is the killer. Miss Lansing, Mr. Waring, or Mr. Clayton.
Suppose none of us learns who the killer is.
I intend to keep my yacht on the high seas until you do.
But you said we'd be in Havana in 3 days.
We don't have to be.
You had better be.
Holliday, I have my own reasons for this incredible thing. I've come to you because I've watched you, listened to you. Of the four, you are the one who seems the most resourceful. You alone acted with calm and sense at dinner.
Thank you, Mr. Mallory.
Not at all, Mr. Holliday. Now I'll leave you alone. And, Mr. Holliday, the cabin doors are no longer locked. They cannot be locked because the keys are gone. Good night.
And that was that. Mallory's statement that the cabin doors were no longer locked meant that the killer, if there was one, could go and come freely. And whoever it was would be watching, waiting. Oh, Mallory was clever. He was safe because of that envelope with his attorneys. The rest of us? Well, we'd have to do something to protect ourselves. It was midnight when I got up from the bed. I hadn't undressed. I'd kept my eyes on the door. Then I thought again about Janus. Janus, the Roman god. What kind of a clue was that? Well, I decided to find out. There were books in the main salon. Maybe I could learn something from them. I stepped into the passageway. It was dark. Not a light showing. I groped my way along the passage toward the main salon. I opened the door. Who's that?
Mr. Holliday, is that you?
Yes, what are you doing in here?
Oh, I was afraid. I was in my cabin. I was afraid. I had to get out. It was so small, I felt as though I'd smother.
But why did you come in here?
I don't know.
Why didn't you turn on the lights?
Well, I tried to. I couldn't find the switch.
Did you see anyone else?
No. No one.
You'd better get back to your cabin.
No, I can't. I won't go back there. Mr. Mallory said the door couldn't be locked.
Oh.
Mr. Holliday, I didn't kill anybody. I'm innocent. Please. Please get me off this yacht.
In the middle of an ocean?
We can get a boat. We got to.
You wouldn't have a chance in the world.
Oh, but we'll all be killed.
Come on, come on. I'd better get you back to your cabin. Come on.
Oh, no, I won't go. I won't go.
Now, don't get hysterical. That won't help.
Oh, please help.
What makes you think I can?
You won't help?
I didn't say that. I...
Oh, you're the murderer. You're the one. Oh!
Be quiet.
That's good advice, Miss Lansing. Be quiet.
Mallory. Oh.
The lights will go on in a moment.
Turn them on now.
I can't. The main switch is off. I had it turned off because... Ah, there we are.
I turn off the main switch, Mallory.
Added protection and...
What's the matter? Who's that screaming?
Ah, Mr. Waring. Did Mr. Clayton come with you?
Yes. Yes, I'm here. What happened?
Well, it seems that Mr. Holliday and Miss Lansing...
Holliday?
What about it, Waring?
What were you doing in here?
Yes. What were you doing in here?
Perhaps he couldn't sleep.
Just a moment. I walked to the bookshelves, hunted for a moment while they all watched.
It's still there, Mr. Holliday.
What's still there?
A book of mythology.
Mythology? What are you talking about?
Mr. Mallory gave the Roman god Janus as a clue. Now, Janus would appear in a book of mythology. Mm-hmm. Here it is.
You're very clever, Mr. Holliday. Would you mind looking in the index for Janus, J-A-N-U-S?
I can spell. Here you are. 86.
Turn to it.
There's no page 86.
That's right.
Someone tore it out of here.
Exactly. And that's the only book of mythology on board. It's obvious the killer took it out to prevent the others from finding the clue.
In other words, the killer knew that reading that page would give him away.
Yes, provided the reader was sufficiently acute. But the killer forgot one thing.
Yes, forgot what?
He or she is the biggest clue of all.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, Mr. Waring, there's something about him or her that gives away the show and ties in with Janice.
What is it, Mother?
Find that out and you'll have the person, Mr. Clayton. Look at one another and remember what I said. Good night.
Which one of us took that page from the book?
He did. Mallory did, deliberately. So he could go on with this preposterous game.
I wonder.
There was someone in here when I came in.
You don't know who it was?
No. I left the door open when I came in. I couldn't find the light switch. I think someone slipped out when I came in.
And you, Halliday? You were here?
Yes. Yes, I was. What of it?
What do you think?
What were you going to do here, Halliday?
I came here to...
Just turn off the lights again.
I don't think that anyone should move.
We'd better get back to our cabins. I don't like being in the dark with a killer. The next morning on deck, I saw Waring standing at the aft rail. I stopped because he looked around as though seeing if anyone were near. Then he raised his arm and threw something into the sea. I wondered what it might be, and he turned quickly and came toward me.
Oh, hello, Halliday.
Hello, Waring.
Nice day, isn't it?
I hadn't noticed.
Has anything happened?
I don't know, has it?
What's the matter with you?
What did you throw overboard, Waring?
Throw overboard? Me? Nothing.
Look, Waring, we're all in this together. We've got to cooperate.
One of us is a killer. I won't cooperate with anyone. Now, let me get past.
All right. All right, go ahead. He left me standing there. I walked toward my cabin, down the passageway, and opened the door. Clayton.
Well, Halliday. Well, I thought you were on deck.
Well, I'm not. What are you doing in here?
Well, I wanted to see you.
You can't find me in that drawer.
Well, it was open when I came in.
It was not?
All right, it wasn't. So what?
That's my question. What were you looking for?
The missing page from that book.
Stop lying.
Where did you get that gun? What are you going to do now? Please, don't.
Get out of here. Go on, get out.
I'm going to tell Mallory that you have a gun.
Sat down. Things were moving fast. I thought about Catherine Lansing. She'd been in the salon. I thought about Waring, who had thrown something overboard. And what he'd thrown hadn't been paper, so it wasn't the page from the book. And I thought about Clayton searching my cabin. Which of the three was the killer? By now, I believed Mallory's story. Then I remembered something. Something about Janice. And it tied in with what Mallory had said. Tied in with the killer and something I'd seen. I left my cabin and hurried down the passage. I was almost to the end when... Oh!
Feeling better, sir?
Who hit me?
We don't know, Halliday.
Well, whoever hit me took the gun you gave me, Mallory.
You, Mallory? You gave him the gun?
What was the idea?
Well, where is it now?
That's what I'd like to know.
Obviously, Mr. Halliday, the killer has it.
That's right.
This is going to be an interesting lunch. You may serve, William.
Very good, sir.
Mallory, I know who has that gun.
Of course you do, Mr. Halliday.
Who is it?
Miss Lansing, when were you born? What month?
Month?
Go ahead, Halliday. Go on.
Well, Miss Lansing?
Well, July. Why?
Is that right, Mallory?
That's right.
Clayton.
What is this?
Answer the same question.
December.
He's telling the truth, Halliday.
And Waring, when were you born?
September.
Is that right, Halliday?
No, I don't think so. Waring, you were born in January, the month named after the Roman god Janus.
Be careful, Halliday.
What you threw overboard was a ring. A ring with a dark red stone. Your birthstone. A garnet.
That's perfectly true, Halliday.
Keep your hands on the table, all of you. And thank you for this gun, Mr. Halliday.
You are not welcome.
What do you intend to do, Waring? Kill all of us?
I'm not that stupid.
You killed my brother.
Yes, but I'm not going to Havana or any place else on this yacht. Now stay where you are. I'll shoot the first person who gets up from that table. And I'll shoot to kill.
Clayton, William.
No, sit still. Let him go.
Let him go?
Yes, the crew has instructions to let anyone go. They won't see him take the lifeboat. They'll let him go.
But he'll get away.
I don't think so. He'll be picked up. You see, Miss Lansing, we haven't been many miles from shore. Now, shall we go on with our lunch? Miss Lansing, Mr. Clayton, you've been put to a lot of trouble. I hope these checks will make you feel happier. I think they will. Mr. Holliday, you got a story, I hope.
Oh, yes, I did.
You see, Mr. Holliday, I had to do it this way. I had no proof that Waring was the murderer. I spent 10 years getting evidence, but no proof. I had a hope that he would break, put him under tension.
But that envelope with your attorneys.
Mr. Holliday, there was no envelope.
They picked up that Waring, huh?
Yes. Mallory radioed the police.
If he'd kept quiet, no one would have known.
Yes, I know. But Mr. Mallory is a very clever man.
So are you.
Well, thank you, Susie.
Okay. What about that ticket on the liner?
Oh, I never thought about that. Hey, Susie, maybe I can still use it. Huh. Here it is.
Uh-oh. Mr. Holliday.
Huh? What's the matter?
Look, the date. The boat sailed yesterday.
Oh, fine. Good night, Susie.
Next week, same time, through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures, Alan Ladd stars as Dan Holliday in Box 13. Box 13 is directed by Richard Sandville, with this week's original story by Russell Hughes.
Box 13, on Tuned 2 yesterday from the 29th of November, 1948. And that wraps up this hour of mystery on Tuned 2 yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden years. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.